Welcome back to Comedian Americans. Enter the Moctagon, or maybe it's the Schlocktagon, I don't know. We are offering solutions for America from the world's leading lunatics. Put on your red, white, and blue clown shoes. Time to go stomping through the American minefield. The comedians are here to fix America. This is where the guest host has to make some intro music.
Music?
Yeah, you just gotta
say anything about music.
Just do something. What's the the cool intro music? That's it. Perfect.
That's it.
I'm Dr. Dan.
I'm stopping music.
American comedian, founder of Comedian Americans. I have joke OCD. I turn it loose on the world. I used to write jokes for late night TV and get paid for it. Now I just do it for fun and for those four listeners out there. But when you have joke Tourette's, you got to throw it out. Every week I bring on my co-host, and this co-host this week almost died yesterday because he tried to exercise, which, you know, we're at that.
That over a certain age, you have to be careful.
Exercise is dangerous.
It is.
My co-host this week, creator of Over the Hedge, author of 473,000 books, funny human being, Mike Fry.
Hey,
he's low energy today too. Like,
yeah, a little low energy.
Yeah. Well, near death experiences. What are you, 80? 82?
Yeah. I look pretty good for 80.
You do. Killing it. So the idea here is we wander through the week that was, and today is the 30th? August 30th, I think.
Yeah.
And so we go through the stories and we tell jokes about them, but we also try to fix America because the serious have clearly screwed it up. So let's let the comedians take a shot.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
All right. So I'm going to launch in and you just drag through any of these stories that you want to. It's fine. But the most recent thing is Hurricane Ida. You know, tried to once again wipe Louisiana off the map.
That's right.
Last night.
I think they should just, they should just move Louisiana. They just move it up to South Dakota. I think that's, it would do better than South Dakota.
Or at least jack it up on stilts, right?
Like, yes.
Get a ton of, you know, jacks and just lift it up so that it's platformed.
This is like the 48th storm to hit them in the last few years, and not all of them are as terrible as this one, but I've been through I've been through a couple of hurricanes when we lived in Houston, and and not bad ones, you know, like 100 mile an hour wind, no big deal.
And,
150 is a big deal, so they're going to be without electricity, I don't know, a couple weeks, you know.
Yeah, over a million people without power. It should have hit the GOP and then knocked their power out. Let them scramble.
Yeah. Instead, it's a lot of, New Orleans really has no reason to exist, actually. You know, it's just
it's below sea level and it's at the sea.
Below sea level. And it's
it's a big ladle. It's really just a big ladle.
The country is just going to go, it's fun to go to, like, once a year and get drunk on Bourbon Street. Although I wouldn't recommend that.
Well, I saw a video yesterday of people preparing for the hurricane. Did you see this? And there was a guy at 9 a.m. naked in tennis shoes running down Bourbon Street or whatever it was. It's like, that's how you prepare for a hurricane in New Orleans.
Yeah, I saw a couple of guys who were leaning into the wind, who both of them had Schmedium t-shirts on. You know what that just does, they don't quite fit. Both with little to-go cups, holding on to that to-go cup, not gonna let that go. And the thing, well, they're literally leaning about 45 degrees into the wind, just having a great time.
Well, I like the video. Did you see the Al Roker video? Like, they literally make the weather stand at the edge of the storm surge, so he's getting, you know, blown around and the storm surges, you know, washing over him. I'm like, that guy's almost 80 years old.
I know he's one of these hurricanes. He's going to regret losing all that weight.
Funny. Yeah. You don't want to be a skinny weatherman in a hurricane.
No, there we go. Yeah. No, it's crazy. Cause they find it like the perfect spot where you don't know, but he's really kind of shielded from everything.
Right.
And but there's water lapping up, and then, you know, and every now and then he's blown across. And I, what was funny last night was that it wasn't Al, but it was some other guy. And he's the, you know, it's the same stand up, and there's a stop sign behind him, you know, and any normal human being can tell that stop sign's like 10 or 12 feet away.
Right.
But the CNN announcer had to explain to the audience that he's not right next to that stop sign. It's not going to come up and hit him in the head.
That's and great.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. I think the staging of the weather, people experiencing the weather for us that's what it should always be. Like every night, the weather person should have to experience the conditions going on. So if it's hot outside, sun lamps, you know, if it's raining, you just hit them with buckets of water every day.
Yeah.
You don't even have to talk at that point. What's going on outside? I don't know why
They should just go out in the weather, you know, and do the weather cast. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. We can do it in a hurricane. May as well do it in, you know.
Yeah, I don't need you to describe the weather. I want to see you experience the weather, and then I'll know what to do today.
You have one of those high ozone days. You can watch him pass out.
It's like, and they're like allergies. Like they're just, you know, drenched in pollen.
Yeah. No, I want to see that.
And how great would the video have been if Al Roker really had gotten washed out to sea? Like one big wave just
there he goes.
Grabs him and just he's gone. And they're like, what happened to Roker? Dude, there's no way to go get him. He's
I was going to say, you see some producer kind of coming in and going, I'm not going in there.
Right. They don't have boat. I mean, what are you going to do? If you lost Roker at sea, he'd be gone.
Yeah, that'd be it.
That'd be the greatest video ever. Like if he really wanted to cap his career.
That would be watched a lot. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he got his stomach stapled, right?
I like all the storm chasers who go down there. And they're the only ones out and about, basically, in the middle of all that, trying to find the perfect spot. And is that a living? I mean, do they come up with this great thing and then they sell it to the networks? I don't know.
I don't know how they make money with that.
Yeah, they're just, I don't know.
There's a great story of a stand-up named Grant Turner who was scheduled to work the weekend in Nag's Head, and the hurricane came in and they shut everything down. And it turned out to be not that bad, but it was, you know, stormy. And so CNN was there on the beach and he was bored. So he just put on his surfer pants and went and stood at the edge. And they're like, what are you doing? And he's like, and he made up a character, like this country Alabama character going, I'm going to surf that bitch. I'm going out there and I'm going to surf that hurricane. And they reported on him like for 10 minutes on CNN. And he had so much fun with the character. He started doing it on stage and he created a character named Ricky Mokel that he created that day. And it became this great character in the Southern comedy.
Yeah. And a bottle of Southern Comfort would have gone well with that bit. That's just sitting there taking a swig. And I can see that.
I'm going to ride in that fact, hurricane.
He didn't actually have a surfboard either, probably.
I don't know what he had. Yeah, probably a door, something like that.
Door. That would be great.
Surf door. That would be surf door. It doubles. Just pull it off your cabana and head right in.
So, no, I have no solution for hurricanes. So obviously they're getting worse, or they seem to be. And that's, we should probably do something about that.
That's fake science.
Fake science. That's right.
I think too, like Al Roker, you know, like again, he's getting old. Once he's terminal of something, I think just taking a, you know, like a neutron bomb to the center of the hurricane, that's how he should go out. You know, it's like just, doesn't that work? Isn't that what they're going to do? Start nuking or bombing?
That's what Trump wants them to do. That was his suggestion. Yeah. Why can't we just throw a, you know? How would you like to be like the chief of staff and that comes up? And, you know, and you can't just tell him that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. You could. Yeah. Someone should say that to him, but you're not going to. That's very interesting, sir.
Yeah, we're going to check into that, sir. That sounds like, we'll drop some bleach into the middle of the hurricane. That'll do it.
And why doesn't the hurricane follow where I mark on the map that it's going?
All right. So there you go. Hurricane first story. There's lots of stories last week. Sirhan Sirhan was recommended for parole after 53 years. His 19th attempt, I think, or 16th.
I think my take on that is the apparently, I want a show of hands of the Kennedy family to say. I saw some Kennedys said, he's not going to hurt anybody. Just let him out. But I just wanted, because didn't RFK have like 43 children? And, I think they all have an opinion. So
that's true. They did just find the two that were like, oh, he's, a beneficent saint at that point.
Yeah.
I know nothing at all about Sirhan Sirhan, other than the fact that that is the craziest name for an assassin.
Yeah, it is a good name. The assassin's so nice they named him twice.
Like if we're ranking assassin names down through history.
That's right. It's a good one.
Sirhan Sirhan's got to be up there. John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Could it have just been John Booth?
Yeah, no. Yeah, no.
Who else do we have? Like who assassinated Benjamin Harrison?
I have no idea.
Bad naming, right? Guy had a bad name.
No, we don't remember.
Over Cleveland, was he shot?
Mark David Chapman, is he the guy who shot John Lennon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are they three named people?
Yeah, I wonder if they went around like his mom called him Mark David Chapman, or whether or not that's just the media. Because it just
How does the media decide, right? To use the full name. Like who gets to decide that? Is it the parent or the person?
There's some media star court somewhere that they go to.
Who shot Reagan? Hinckley?
Hinckley, yeah. It had something to do with that actress too.
Oh, Jodie Foster. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand what it had to do with her, but was he trying to impress her?
It's like, yeah, Robert De Niro can shoot a pimp. Guess what? Yeah. I can shoot a president.
Yeah. There you go.
Isn't he released? Now, didn't he get released?
No, it's up to the governor. The parole board recommended it.
For Hinckley?
The governor has the last say, so. He'll probably put his finger in the wind, and since he's facing, he's. You and I could be governor next week if we just put our name on the list. And apparently, because he's being recalled, whoever gets a plurality wins, and he can't. So it's like the crazy part about it is, the both questions are on the ballot. It's do you want to recall him? I forget his name. Who do you want? And if he doesn't get, that's clearly what it is. And so if he gets less than 50%, I do not recall, whoever's number one underneath wins. And there are literally 35 people running.
Insane.
I know. And the leader is some crazy right-wing radio host.
Yeah, it was Elder. Is that his name? Who's made all sorts of comments in the past about,
Right, but
getting women back where they
maybe
belong.
We'll get lucky, and COVID will get him. Like it's apparently COVID now, just like tornadoes go after mobile homes, they're now going after right wing radio hosts.
Yeah. And what was that guy Valentine? I'd never heard of him.
Yeah, I never heard of him. There's another one in Florida, and then some anti-vax guy here in Texas. Just sad.
It's interesting. Like the news just comes at you, you read it, and then it instantly dissipates into fragments where you can't really remember any of it, other than the fact that, a bunch of right wing radio hosts are going down to COVID. Yeah. So maybe COVID does have a consciousness and a conscience. Maybe it's you know what? I'm going to target a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like these guys either.
Yeah. COVID's going to COVID.
Sirhan, Sirhan. What happens the day that guy gets paroled? Like, what do you think his day is like? They just open the gate and say, see you, buddy. And that's it?
I actually know what happens.
Really? How do you've researched this?
No, I had one of my best friends from high school this is a crazy story, robbed three banks.
Really?
In the early 1990s. And it was right when mandatory sentencing came in. So even though he didn't really have a gun, and he didn't, and he did it for to impress, it was, the whole thing was nuts. And I only learned about this all later. I'd lost track of it, but and he ended up 25 years federal prison. You know, went in when he was about 32, just got out a few years ago. And I touched base with him on Facebook. But no, they go to a halfway house for like a year where they live with other thing and they get reintegrated.
That literally should be half a house.
Half a house. That's right. The half a halfway house. And
like no roof or something.
Yeah. He's found religion, which I would think under his circumstances that
it's probably a good option in prison.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a safe way to go.
Yeah, something to think about while you're being, you know.
I didn't ask Jesus, about that.
In the next life, in heaven, this won't be happening to me.
Yeah. I won't be in prison because I tried to, you know, steal money to take a girl out, you know, something like that.
I've got a guy I went to grade school with who shot a cop during a drug bust. He didn't know the guy was a cop. He thought it was a, you know, just dealer trying to rip him off because he was also a dealer, and shot this cop. And he's been in prison ever since, like ever since he was 20, I think. And his parole should have gone through, clearly should have gone through, but the cops won't let it. Like, no, he shot a cop. He's dying in jail. And I hooked up with him on Facebook, and he rehabs dogs for people now. And he's a very sweet Jesus guy. So
that's nice. But he's still in prison.
Still in prison. He's going to die in prison.
Oh God. Oh, well, let's move on to something with more comedic potential.
So Sirhan goes to a halfway house. All right. That's what happens there. And we think it should be a house cut in half. And that's that's our new idea, is cut these houses in half. So, you know, it's a halfway house, right? You don't have to guess anymore.
That's right.
And if you took the front off, you could see what they're doing and you could keep track of them.
Yeah.
Solid idea.
Yeah.
So, I guess we should talk on the big issues. We've got the Afghanistan debacle still going on.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on the Afghanistan?
Well, I have a few thoughts. They're not very funny thoughts, but they're...
We'll make them funny. Just put them out there.
Everyone jumping on Biden, and it's like you kind of have to play out all the scenarios, which is what I'm sure they did. And the mistake was made a long time ago.
Yeah, come on. This is not Biden just stopping 6 months in making Afghanistan a mess.
Right.
This is Trump screwing everything up. And then dropping it on Biden's plate and walking away.
Right. And there is that. And then there's the whole idea of why we're there in the first place. And then there's the whole thing about why we stayed so long. And then there's the whole thing of that the Afghans weren't particularly interested in having their own country.
Clearly.
Some of them were interested in making a lot of money. And you hear a lot of people saying, well, this just is a clusterfuck. And, you know, we should have started getting people out a long time ago. But the problem was they didn't want us to do that.
Right. And they didn't want to leave. They were there making money. A lot of the Americans that have been there, it's because of the money that they made.
Well, there's that. And also the army falling apart so fast was because they saw that what's the point? Why should we be doing this? Also, they weren't being fed and they didn't have ammunition. And the crazy shit is we took all the contractors out that service the planes and stuff. And I guess we never taught them how to do that. That seems to be a big mistake. I want to know the guy who said, again with the money. It was just a money-making thing. And they said, we'll have contractors. They'll keep those things up. And, because you can imagine an Afghan, you know, a pilot or some crew chief saying, you know, I think I want to know how to fix this just in case you leave. And
we're not doing that. It turns out money and war, kind of a bad mix, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Like that's the tough part of war is the money. The undercurrents within war are really kind of problematic.
And we could spend that money on that enterprise, but we can't spend it on a million other things. you know, like, you know, we spent over the last year and a half. So
who's going to make money on education? Come on, really? Who, if we put all that money in education, then like teachers and stuff like that would get it. That's not good.
That can't happen.
Can't have that. All right. We're going to play a game here. We're going to play, is this city in Afghanistan?
Ooh.
Last week I was asking people, to name one person from Afghanistan and nobody could.
Karzai. Who's that? Was the president for a while.
Okay. Well, that doesn't even, that you're probably wrong on the name and it doesn't count because he's the president. One human being who lives in Afghanistan. Nobody knows. There's not a single name.
Joe. There's a guy named Joe.
All right. We're going to play, is this a city in Afghanistan? You tell me. I'm going to give you the names. Khost. Khost.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes. There are almost 200,000 people who live in that city that nobody's ever heard of. Bamyan.
Bamyan. How do you...
B-A-M-Y-A-N. What?
Give me the definition.
Use it in a sentence.
Use it in a sentence. Bam yam?
Yep.
I'm going to say no.
Now it is. It's 100,000 people live in Bam yam. Puli Alam.
Puli Alam. I'm going to say no.
No, I'm just giving you cities in Afghanistan. Okay. But nobody has ever heard of. And there's over 100,000 people in all these cities.
Jesus.
There's 32 million people in that country.
Wow. So about the same as Texas.
Is that right? Is that about what our population is?
Yeah, I think we're 28 or 29. Something.
Maybe the solution is we just switch, like bring Afghanistan over here. Like everybody here gets deported to Afghanistan and all the Afghanistan people come here. Then in 10 or 20, 30 years, they all become democratic and capitalistic. And then we can move them back and move the Texans back. What do you think? Forced deportation, like importation.
What's that?
Forced deportation, importation.
That's right. They don't even have any oil. That's a problem.
They got a lot of desert, a lot of mountains.
They have opium.
Well, then that the Texans can go and... You know,
yeah, we'll take care of that. They have, and I thought, well, okay, opium, that's a big deal. But apparently it's only about 10 or 15% of their GDP. So I want to know what the rest is. What are they, you know, terrorism?
Right? I don't know. Like goats? Is it agricultural?
I don't know.
But it's not a green country. So how do you even do agricultural stuff?
No, it's basically just...
There's no water.
There's mountains and there's desert and...
Could you pick Afghanistan on a map? Could you find it on a map?
I could, yes.
Could you?
Yeah, I absolutely could, yes.
I could not. I know it's
in the Middle East. No way. Yes, you could.
I know it's in the Middle East. I tried. I looked at the Middle East map. Without the names on it, I'm like, I have no idea where Afghanistan is.
Really? No, I can do that.
It's close to Russia, right?
I get confused about all those Eastern European countries. Romania, Bulgaria, Croatia. Those are confusing. Although I do a good stab at it. And I get confused some of those Southeast Asian countries, too. Although... We were in Vietnam for a lot of time, and I was a kid. I could probably do all right there.
What about Africa? You couldn't do
Africa. No. Those countries right there on the, that are on that, you know, how Africa's like this, and the ones that are on that coast there. No. There's like 20 of them, and no, I don't know what they are.
I'm working on a show because I think you've heard the bit where I talk about Kenyans, the runners.
Yeah.
Every time I do something like that, eventually it expands into the issue itself. So Kenya, I got interested in. Now I'm interested in Africa. So I'm putting together a one-person show to teach America about Africa. And like when you look at the names, it's like you have like Mozambique and, you know, Morocco and Chad. I'm like, how did Chad get in there? How does some douchebag frat boy suddenly get his name on an African country?
I don't know. His dad bought it for him. I don't know.
That's the biggest name discrepancy. These beautiful names, the Ivory Coast. You know why it's called the Ivory Coast?
A lot of elephants.
There were actually four. There were four coasts. That there were Gold Coast, Ivory Coast, the something else coast. I can't even remember what they are. But they were basically that's where they exported. That's when they were stealing all the resources from Africa. They literally renamed the coast what they were stealing.
Well, just to be clear.
Yeah. Right.
What coast am I going to? Oh, the Ivory Coast. Okay.
I think we should loan Trump to Afghanistan. Like he's got some magic powers to straighten things out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure he thinks he does.
Yeah, he says he does. He says he, you know, he can, if he was there, let's loan him out.
Yep. I don't know. Yeah, that, the Taliban.
Can you imagine if Trump was suddenly the president of Afghanistan? What a glorious, you know, mess that would be to watch.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, and he'd find some place somehow. He'd find somehow to make it even worse. So
I bet you know once if Trump doesn't reemerge in 2024 to destroy America, I bet another country if he wanted to, he could say, "Look, I want to take over, you know, Luxembourg and run Luxembourg," and they would have him. You know, one of these kind of rightist countries would just bring him in.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. That's another one of those countries. I'd have trouble finding Luxembourg. There's also another tiny country in there that in Europe that's just super tiny. Begins with an A, I think. I can't remember the name of
Antwerp?
No.
That's a city.
That's a city.
What do you think they'd have to do to lure Trump? Like all golden, like a golden castle, all golden toilets. Like he likes a golden toilet. We know that.
Yeah, just pay him. I mean, this is not a stupid idea. I thought about this during the presidency. That we spent $3 trillion on Afghanistan. We couldn't give Trump $10 billion to just go away. I mean, it would have been money well spent.
Yeah, well, I mean, we probably ended up losing that much money, you know, way more than that anyway on bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, and then he'd actually be worth $10 billion.
Like, we're going to pay you. Well, I told people before, when you look at his business practices before this, his structure is to get into a deal and then become such a problem that they pay him to leave.
Yep.
And he did the exact same thing with America.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So you don't think Biden should resign then?
No, I don't.
Isn't that crazy? So
I am worried it'll be a hangover of this. The Republicans will use every bit that they can to make it, you know, to try to get back in 2022. But that's a ways away.
Yeah. All this stuff will fade. That's my point. Nobody knows shit about Afghanistan. They won't know shit about Afghanistan in, you know, 3 months.
Right.
For right now, though, America is basically a swollen tick of Afghanistan. That's what the media does. They go out and find all these crazy, intense stories and images and just open the fire hydrants and the tick of America just starts to swell.
Yep.
And that's why the thing, like if there was one more crazy, you know, let's just poke this tick. Boom. Red, white, and blue everywhere.
Yeah. I want to know. They, you know, the thing, the rocket attack yesterday, apparently there were two rocket attacks.
They took out a truck, right?
One by us where we got some intelligence about something and we blew up a house.
Blew up a
and then I guess they lobbed a few rockets at us. But I want to know, they've had pretty good intelligence. Like they knew that first attack was coming, didn't know what it was. So they got a guy in there somewhere, I guess.
Of course. You know? Well, they've got the little, remember Eye in the Sky, that movie? They've got little hummingbird cameras and flies and shit like that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You can't gather some intelligence with a fly.
Yeah.
Especially in Afghanistan. It's literally, I wish I was a fly on the wall. Well, we've got technology for that. You are a fly on the wall.
That's right.
Imagine that, like, you're having to protect yourself from bugs, like camera bugs.
Yeah, or just cameras. I mean, the resolution is pretty, you know, they dropped a bomb on that guy a couple of days ago. Yeah, he was just sitting in a car at night, and there's boom, drone goes over it. Boom. Some guy in Nevada driving the drone.
Yeah, right? Like, I think I got him.
Yep.
Well, the thing that's scary about all that stuff is that every time we create this new technology and we use it to attack our enemies in the world, as they learn that technology and they turn it back around and use it to attack us. Yeah. You imagine if there were drones over Buta right now looking for you?
Yeah, I'd be easy to find.
You know, it's like, I think I'll go to the grocery. No, I don't think I will.
Not today. is that one for me, or is that Amazon?
Al Roker could start reporting on the drone environment every day. It's heavy in drones out there. Like, our drone index is, I would stay inside today. In fact, I would stay in your bunker today.
Yeah, definitely.
So the drone index, we need that.
So yeah, I got not much of a solution on that. We'll be out of there by tonight, I guess. And that'll be it.
Yeah, the solution is just pull everybody out and then, you know, I guess watch it deconstruct. I was watching yesterday, we were talking about the economy is imploding instantly. All the things that have to be in place, all the infrastructures, there's nobody there to run that. I mean, first of all, we destroyed their government, but you know.
No, all the best and brightest have left or want to leave or are hiding. And this is a great, you know, be careful what you ask for the Taliban, because it's just going to be a nightmare for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, at least 20 years ago, they got the rocks off telling people what to do and how to look and all the rest of it. But I kind of have a feeling that they're going to push back this time, and it won't be quite as easy. And I see a big civil war coming, and but we won't be back.
Yeah, we're off that train. That tram is not coming back around the circle.
We'll find some other godforsaken place to.
There's plenty. Like, we have plenty of other places to go shoot our missiles. Okay, so Afghanistan. Charlie Watts died this week.
Yes.
The stone has passed.
Yes, definitely. What do I say about that? I did a joke in Over the Hedge for, it won't appear for a couple of weeks, but about Charlie Watts dying. And there, of course, RJ doesn't know who he is. You know, the Rolling Stones. I don't know. The greatest rock and roll band, whatever their tagline is. And RJ said, are they as big as Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks? You remember Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks?
Dan Hicks? And no, I don't.
You know, that 70s band. I was in high school. We were friends, and I were fans because we liked the name. And I forget now. I've gone all this way and I can't remember at the punchline. Something about Vern saying, I can't get no satisfaction. And then RJ says, you know, you don't always get what you want. Sometimes you get what you need. Yes. So that was the joke. But Charlie Watts,
80, right? He was 80.
Yeah, he was 80 and a good long run.
Yeah.
And apparently, of course, I didn't know any of this until reading his obituary, but kind of a cool guy who didn't particularly buy into the whole Rolling Stone thing, other than the money and the, you know.
No, I think it's funny. He's now far more famous than he's ever been in the last 80 years, because they're running features on him. They're running YouTube clips. Like, I watched one where he was talking about his drum kit, that he been using the same drum kit for 50 years.
Yeah. It's just four drums. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. He's a jazz drummer, and that's how he got started. And he did some rhythm and blues, and then they came in and there's a great story. I don't know if you saw about where he punched Mick in the face.
Yeah. That's his highlight story. That is the story of Charlie Watts. Yeah. That it's my band or whatever. Yeah. You're my singer.
Yeah, you're my drummer and you're my singer. Whap.
I can't imagine like a punch fight between those two like non-males. Like they're the smallest,
yeah, I know.
weakest humans. Like it couldn't have hurt.
Yeah. No.
But, it was funny to watch his disdain for the Stones, like when he was talking about rock and roll drummers not using the snares, and he's like, yeah, jazz is all about the snares and rock and roll drummers don't even like the snares. And I'm like, wow, that is some insider pickiness, right?
Yeah,
there.
No, no. He was a good drummer too. And
I have no idea. I have no way of judging.
He's a good, you know.
Are you saying that because you've heard it or because you know about drumming?
I know a little bit about drumming, but I had also heard it. But he's better than Ringo Starr.
Is Ringo Starr bad?
He gets a lot of flack, but he's actually not that bad. Ringo Starr was better than the other guy. I think it was Pete Best who he replaced.
Okay.
And he also had the attitude. He had the right.
Ringo Starr was fun. He's funny. He's
funny and
goof.
You look at some of those Beatles interviews in the 60s when they were coming, when they thought the whole thing was going to last like another 2 weeks. And they had the right attitude. They were like, this is fun.
Is that his real name, Ringo Starr?
I don't know. No, it's something Starkey. Dwayne Starkey. No, it's not Dwayne. Something like that.
Your camera's shaking. No, how come your camera's shaking? You have an earthquake there? Like your hand.
I got this on a pillow on my lap, so that supposedly you're supposed to kind of look down from up to make yourself look thinner. I'm done with that.
Well, I don't care anymore. You look like Jell-O at the moment. Like your pillow keeps moving.
Yeah.
Everybody, like it's always Bonham. Like John Bonham is supposed to be the greatest drummer, right? Or they say things like he hit the drums harder than anybody else. And I have no idea what that means. Like,
yeah, I don't think that means you're a great drummer, but yeah. His name always comes up.
Then there's the jazz guys, Buddy Rich and those guys who at one point, you know, drumming was so popular. I remember watching this like maybe it was the 60s or early 70s, but he was on Carson, just they let him drum.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
What happened to that? What happened to the big drum solos and the fact that drummers could be...
Well, everybody hates drum solos in rock and roll. That was always pointless.
It's like, hey, we're going to take out all the pleasurable instruments, and for 20 minutes, we're going to let this guy hit these cylinders.
in a random fashion.
And it's like there's no way to judge it, but you have to yell for it. Like everybody, that has to be, that's a moment when the whole audience has to scream and yell for it.
So anyway, Charlie Watts, that's a nice long run. It just tells you how old and how amazing it is the Stones have survived all this time, just as a band. And also, and making pretty decent music.
Oh my God. They
at
have
least
so many
up until the late 80s or something.
They were responsible for me getting my first writing job, partly.
Really?
Yeah. The fact that they're too old to tour. I wrote a top 10 list about the top reasons, top signs that the Stones are too old to tour. And the first joke was they now open with, "Hey, you, get off of my lawn."
That's good.
Yeah, and actually Letterman ended up doing the exact joke that night. I didn't write it, but they wrote it. But it was in my writer's packet, and the head writer who hired me at Best End Sports Show read it, and he's like, yeah, I called you after that line. He goes, that's funny.
But of course, just like everybody in comedy and writing and stuff, he didn't laugh when he said, that's funny. He
just yeah, it's just an appreciation. It's not an emotional experience. Funny. We've talked ourselves out of enjoying comedy.
Right.
So, yeah, I hope Charlie Watts is not at the gates of hell explaining that all that pro-Satan music was just a marketing gimmick.
Yeah, yeah. Just to get the teenagers hopped up. So.
Yeah, what a ride. What a ride. So what else we got here? We've got the tallest man in America died this week.
Yeah, that was one I didn't know. Yeah.
38 years old.
Yeah, that's a thing with gigantism. They don't live very long. Something about the heart not being big enough to.
Yeah, something about being 9 feet tall. Yes. Stresses your body. It was his name was Igor Vava Kavinsky. Something like that.
They're always Eastern Europeans too. I don't know what that's about.
And this was according to his mother, Svetlana Vavakandinsky. He died. He was 7 feet, 8.33 inches tall.
Wow.
When they get into giants like that, that last 100th of an inch seems to be important.
Yeah. How tall was Andre the Giant?
Andre the Giant was 7'4", 525 pounds.
Wow. And you know that.
Again, I get comedy OCD, which drives me into learning OCD so I can turn it into jokes.
Right.
And I have a whole thing about Andre. He has so many funny things about that guy. Like his drinking records are what are really gigantic about him. He drank 124 beers in one sitting. So he was a famous drunk. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like Andre the Giant passing out on you. And they have stories about like having to get like seven guys to carry him up to his hotel room. He was a hoot, man. That guy was great.
Yeah, no, and apparently a pretty nice guy, actually, considering.
Yeah. Well, I started studying him because I was writing up a persuasion show, and I was trying to think of the most persuasive people that have ever been alive, and I picked him. Can you imagine ever saying no to a 500-pound dude who asked you for something?
Right. Really? He was 7'4"? Wow.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't look, I mean, he was large, obviously, but he didn't look fat. Fat.
Well, if you see pictures of him when he was younger, he looked pretty athletic.
Yeah. So,
So he was the most powerful male, most persuasive male. And I think Marilyn Monroe, the most persuasive female. Who ever said no to Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, probably.
What are you going to do? Like, no, I'm not going to do that, Marilyn.
No.
So tallest guy ever. How tall do you think?
What? Oh, tallest you just told ever. Me though.
No, that was this is American tall.
Oh, American. I don't know. Seven. Ralph Sampson was what? 7'6", something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Not even close. Like the tallest guy ever was also American. And he's so much taller than everybody else. It's ridiculous.
Like 8 feet something?
8 feet, I don't know. 11 inches.
Holy shit.
He was 1 inch away from 9 feet tall.
God.
His name was Robert Pershing. They've got a statue of him on Hollywood Boulevard in front of Ripley's.
That's crazy.
You imagine being 9 feet tall?
No, that's freakish.
I think it's funny whenever a really tall person dies, the obituaries about them are going to include all the other tall people.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be like compared to be like, well, he was tall. Yeah, real tall. But
he wasn't as tall as this guy. No.
It wasn't Robert Pershing tall.
Right. And I bet he died fairly young, too.
Like, your obituary will probably never mention anything about your physical status.
I'm unremarkable. That's
you
right.
You had a fine beard.
Yes. Yes.
Not and, one of the longest beards, though.
He was very nearsighted.
He didn't have like a Alabama country music group beard, but it was a solid beard.
No. I had one of those for a while. I get that whole Santa Claus thing going.
You're pillowing.
I'm rocking my. Never mind.
I don't really. Yeah. Off camera is your area. I don't need to know.
Yeah.
Don't go Jeffrey tubing in me to pull a tubing. Is that a verb now? To tubing.
God, how could that possibly? What an idiot. Jesus.
I had somebody that I was talking to online, and she went off about how it was on purpose and massage. And I'm like, there's no way in hell that was on purpose.
No. And he might have been thinking he was getting off on it, you know, just like, I'm doing this while we're having this. Isn't that clever? And, you know.
Yeah, and but come on. No.
Yeah, it's just.
You know, there's no coming back from.
No. You know, and he tried to come back, and he's
sorry, dude.
We're done.
Credibility is shot. He ought to go like turn into the skid, which is always my advice to these guys, and just start masturbating everywhere. He should be the masturbating news guy.
So it's just that's every time he's on here, you see his fist coming up.
I give that 4 dildos or whatever.
There like you go.
Just turn into mixed sex in the news.
Yeah. All right. Let's not talk about him.
There's a type of porn that mixes sex in the news. Have you seen that?
No, I missed that one.
What's it called? I can't remember, but it's about women taking off their clothes as they're doing newscasts.
Okay.
So. It's essentially porn and news.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, we were going to talk about OnlyFans, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah.
On your list.
They came back. They decided, we're not going to.
This is a question I have. Why is anyone paid for porn at all? There's so much free stuff. Yeah. I mean, you want a list, I can give you a list.
Turns out it's not hard to find. It turns out that Google will go find porn for you.
And it's like, and it's, you know, pretty much anything anyone would want.
And more.
So I don't understand the whole monetary thing. It makes no sense to me.
I think from what I understand about it from a psychology is that if you end up finding somebody that you really like and you want to see them over and over again, then maybe that is the buy. And that's why OnlyFans works, you know?
Yes.
I made this point last week about OnlyFans on this version of the podcast that we should make it by law. You have to install cameras around in every house in America. We clearly are voyeuristic as a species.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like, I'm bored. I'm going to see what Martha down four houses down is doing. And you'd be fine. You get everything you want.
Well, you can do that and you can get it for free. So I don't quite understand that, but I love their about face, you know.
Yeah, they changed positions, like, you know, and you got to change positions
every now and then
in sex. Everybody got upset, right? I mean, the public outcry. I heard the Pope called in, was like, "Hey, you think the Pope ever has seen porn?"
Yes.
Like when? Like, when does he, hey, I need some Pope time.
Well, he was a pretty left-wing, you know, he's from Argentina or something. I think that's right. And, I'm sure he has. Hanging out in the barrio, you know, just going into a bodega and then some guy's got a...
Sure, in the past, when he was young and...
Someone's got a calendar on the wall, sure.
When was the last time you think, like, has he seen porn since he's been the Pope?
No, probably not. Not since he's been the Pope. unless it was some evidence about some, you know, gay porn stuff that some priest was into and he needed to look at the thing.
You don't think he gets to surf the internet? He doesn't have one Pope channel that nobody can see what he's doing.
I don't know if he probably does. I mean, he probably goes online. Does he have a Facebook?
I don't know. What's the privacy life? What's the
Do they limit him to 5,000 friends?
What is the private life of a Pope?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, there was that cool series on HBO called The New Pope that was really pretty interesting about exactly that. About a guy who was an American Pope and he was... He may or may not have had some supernatural powers. It was never quite clear. but he was.
Was that the Jude Law thing?
Yeah, yeah. He's naked in it a lot. And oh, there were guns involved. Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you know that because you subscribed his OnlyFans?
What?
The Jude Law OnlyFans?
Yeah, Jude Law OnlyFans.
I don't know. Haven't we banned enough sex already? Like, I know you can't have sex at Starbucks anymore because of conservatives.
What? Oh.
We've really stomped out too much sex. I think OnlyFans needs to be, you know, protected by the Constitution.
Why did my mind just go to Ed Asner died? Isn't that weird?
That is that's a tough connection you just made.
Yeah, I always liked Ed Asner.
Ed Asner died last night, right?
Yeah, yeah, 90 years old. I thought he was older, but. That reminds me of the time you were with me at AFF once in, what's his name? The 70s television impresario.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? The little Jewish dude. Norman Mailer? No.
Yeah.
It wasn't Norman Mailer. That's a writer.
Norman.
Norman. That guy.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I regret not saying, hey, Norman, just shake his hand and get a picture.
I bumped him.
He's like 98.
I gave him a bump, see if he could take it.
Yeah.
Slight bump.
He seemed pretty hardy.
He did. He seemed totally in there. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, no, good for him.
Ed Asner. Like, Lear. I read some of his obituary stuff, and they didn't mention his physical, you know, status or anything really, how tall he was. They didn't say a thing about how tall he was.
No.
They did talk about his political activity.
They did a lot. Yeah. He was a lefty. He was the head of the Screen Actors Guild for a while. Yeah.
Went after Reagan.
The thing about Ed Asner is you look at him, Mary Tyler Moore Show, which came out in like 71 or 70. He was probably 30 and he looked 58. He always looked that way because he's sort of bald and a little bit, you know, but really good actor. Good. Seemed like good guy.
That's all he ever did, right? What else did he do?
He did that. He did a ton of movies. He did
name one
Pixar film.
Name one. Yeah. Name one movie he did.
He did Up.
That doesn't count.
Why not?
That's an animated voice on a character. Like Ed Asner, anybody could have done that voice. So name a Ed Asner movie. Nothing. You could probably name an Afghanistan, you know, Afghani before you could name a Ed Asner movie.
He did the Lou Grant show after he did Mary Tyler Moore. Yeah.
That's it. That's all he did.
He was on a ton of TV. He did a ton of stuff.
I don't remember a single thing he ever did other than agitate. Just an agitator and a one-shot wonder as a gruff newspaper editor.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you my Mary Tyler Moore story?
I'm going to go and look up IMDb and find out what movies.
I know, but that's cheating. I'm curious.
Like, he must have been in some movies.
Did I ever tell you my Mary Tyler Moore story?
No.
So I was walking, when I was at CBS, I was walking through the hallway, and you go past the guest rooms, like they were dressing rooms, and on your way to the set, and one of the doors was slightly open, and so I looked, and it was Mary Tyler Moore's dressing room. She was on our show that night, and she was buttoning her pants, and I made eye contact with her. So I made eye contact with a not fully dressed Mary Tyler Moore.
All right. Well, that's, you know, somehow I think she's still alive. No, I think she passed away, didn't she?
I think she did. Seems like there was a bunch of flurry about her for a day a while back.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she was a diabetic. No. No, I don't have a Mary Tyler Moore story. I have a Jerry Seinfeld story.
I remember that. I can think about that story. She probably never, ever thought about it again. but I remember that moment of us locking, you know, it was a moment between us. And I remember
thinking, why was the door open?
I don't know. I mean, she wasn't undressing. I don't know, but she was just dressing or buttoning the top button on her pants.
Okay.
What's your Jerry Seinfeld story?
Oh, I was at DreamWorks they were showing us a screening of Hedge before it came out. And he was there working on his
the B movie.
I went in and there he was in the urinal next to me, and we had a pee, and I was like, oh, it's you.
Hey, look at you.
Yeah. And then he left, and that was that.
When I was a kid, there was a local TV show called T-Bar V, and they had Randy the Clown and then some cowboy, and you could go down there on your birthday as a little kid, and they would have you on the show. And so it would be a crowd of kids. It was their birthday, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I went in and I was standing there, and Randy the Clown came and stood next to me, and there was no partition.
So one of those the old ones with the big,
just
the big basin.
I'm like seven. And Randy the Clown pulled out
clown shoes.
Seltzer squirter next to me. And I've been upset about clowns ever since.
Yeah. Did he have his big shoes on and the whole deal?
He had the whole face. He had a straw hat. It was like a farmer clown.
He never peed in a public restroom again.
And ever since then, whenever I go to a public restroom, I hear dun 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 dun. Sex and the City getting ready for another movie. It replaced Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, I didn't know there was. I want to know all about the bad blood between her and Just Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah. I mean, it must have been hard to cast that. Where else would they find a really, you know, upper middle aged woman in New York who's way too open about her unabashed desire for random sex?
Right. Right.
Like, isn't that 90% of the population in New York?
My only Sex in the City story is that my daughters probably watched that when they were a little too young. I don't think it harmed them in any way, but I do sort of regret that.
Dude, there's some, it's weird watching it because it's so before all the zeitgeist of now. Like, I remember the trans and the, you know, all these different issues that they were like, oh my God, you know, how could you? And now it's just like, this is
commonplace. And in fact, I'm not sure it's going to work unless they're all, I don't know. They're going to have some younger versions of themselves.
Awful. Like, I don't know if you've seen the promo shots that are coming out, but it's like Sex in the Nursing Home. They do not look they do not look good. It's like, you know, wiggling their way out of their Depends doesn't really
work.
Do it. It looks like a Twilight Zone episode of who they used to be.
Yeah.
Like the M. Night Shyamalan directs Sex in the City episode.
Yeah. They're all dead.
Ooh, you're strong enough to open my pill bottles, Mr. Big. Way too old, I'm thinking.
Yes.
Let's see what else we got. You want to take a quiz? You want to take the weird quiz?
Sure. Are we going? Yeah, let's just do it.
What? Are you?
No. It's 11, and I was wondering whether we were going to
wrap it up.
Yeah.
Well, you got to take the weird quiz before we wrap it up. We can wrap it up whenever you want. But so every week I put together a weird quiz, and your job as the co-host is you have to deliberate out loud before you answer which of these you would choose. So you have all right. So which would you rather see? A giraffe's head slowly raising up to your second story window and peering in and saying something like, hey, are y'all having sex? And then sinking back down. Would you rather see that, or would you rather see a pet rhino? Like, your pet rhino comes in the living room carrying his leash in his mouth and an injured cat on his horn.
Okay.
That's weird. So I can
deliberate about this. Yes.
Yeah, you got to deliberate. You see the giraffe, the peeping giraffe, or the demanding rhino.
I have a great fondness for giraffes, as opposed to rhinos. But if it was a pet rhino, then it probably was tame. So, like that. And it's probably, but it's quite large. So I'm not sure that I would want it in the house.
Maybe it's a shrunken rhino. Maybe they create mini rhinos.
Take a TikTok of the rhino with its thing in its mouth and probably make a lot of money on that. No, I think I'd go for the giraffe.
The peeping giraffe that's watching you.
Peeping giraffe.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so you have to be haunted by a ghost every night. So choose. I'm going to give you three things to choose from.
Okay.
Three ghosts. The ghost of Eeyore. Every night, just for hours, they come into your room. You can't get rid of them.
Right.
B is a teetotaling 18th century suffragette.
Okay.
Okay. And C is Robin Williams on cocaine and meth.
Oh, God. Oh, this is easy. I mean, this is Eeyore. Absolutely.
Eeyore, the depressed donkey?
Absolutely, yeah.
Talking about his tail hours and on end?
Robin Williams is just, that's too much. No, absolutely not. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm a Robin Williams fan, but there's always something sort of sad and desperate about him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that kind of... I'm gonna do 73 jokes in 3 seconds, and 12
and
of
one of them is gonna be kind of funny.
Yeah.
And John Wayne will appear.
Yeah, right. The suffragette, would be harmless, but it'd be boring and
like Susan B. Anthony, just like really whipping up some frenzy and some good old, old time religion. No?
Eeyore. I've always been an Eeyore fan. I am a total Eeyore fan. I identify with Eeyore. I'm a worrier, and I'm a kind of glass, mostly empty guy.
Funny. So you would commiserate with ghost Eeyore.
I would commiserate with Eeyore. Maybe I could help it, do a little. I've had plenty of therapy. Maybe it'll rub off.
Oh, that's great. Now, I like that image. So maybe
put Eeyore on the couch. That sounds like a New Yorker cartoon. It's probably been done.
Probably.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
be more interesting. Eeyore on the couch, or Pooh on the couch, or Piglet on the couch, Tigger on the couch. I think, I did a joke about Tigger once, having ADD, being medicated, which is probably the saddest thing in the entire world.
Yeah, just a sad, like Eeyore and Tigger, both catatonic and just kind of depressed.
Right.
Okay, sitting, so we've got Voyeur Giraffe and Ghost Eeyore. Last one.
Yeah.
You have to jump to your death. Okay. Off something. Right. I'm going to give you three options what you can jump off to your death from. And they all kill you. They all, everything, you're going to be dead.
You're going to die. Okay.
All right. So Empire State Building.
Okay.
Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Or the Playboy Mansion.
Probably won't die jumping off the Playboy Mansion, but okay.
You die. Like you land on the concrete pool.
If I'm concerned about feeling any pain or any of that kind of thing, then it's got to be the Empire State Building, because you're just going to splat and it'll be
over. That's a long time to die. Like you're dying for a long time.
Yeah, but and of course, I'm terrified of heights. So this, of course, is just making me anxious thinking about it. But
you're going to have to tell Eeyore about this tonight.
Right. And... yeah, I'm not sure you would die even in the... I've been to Mount Rushmore. I'm not sure you would. You might. You probably would if you jumped off.
You would die. Come on, off Mount Rushmore? Off
the head? Yeah, probably. But it's kind of like... because parts of it stick out. So you probably hit George Washington's nose and then ping pong onto Abe Lincoln's chin, and then you might survive. Then you end up in all that scrawl or whatever that's called at the bottom, you know, where they were chipping away and they just left it there. Playboy Mansion, I don't remember how big it was, you know, a couple stories, I guess. I don't know.
It's not about what you're going to die. Like, which one of those would you be like, okay, if there's going to be video of it on YouTube for the rest of all eternity, which one would you?
I just hadn't never any desire to go to the Playboy Mansion. That just seemed, again, sort of desperate and, you know, stuff. Although it was probably pretty cool in the 60s, in the early 60s, when it was kind of new and unusual and, you know, but later on, it again, just sort of desperate.
Yeah, it's the fall of the Roman Empire, right? So I used to cut say, around.
I'm going to say Mount Rushmore, just because that would, you know, be memorable. You know, he threw himself off, you know, and just and do it in a kind of way where, you know, I like I said, you hit who's on there? Teddy Roosevelt. Like, he hit his eyeglasses and it splattered all over.
The monocle. Like, you.
Yeah, the monocle.
You're hanging from the monocle for a few minutes and you're like, minutes, oh, yes.
Well, well. That's where they filmed. That's where that scene in North by Northwest, although they did not. I mean, it was in a studio, obviously, but that's what they were fighting at the top of that, you know.
I wonder if anybody's ever committed suicide off Mount Rushmore. Like, they commit suicide at the Grand Canyon all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. In the Golden Gate Bridge. I knew a guy who was a painter on the Golden Gate Bridge and told me all the stories. He did a lot of interesting stories.
About painting.
He said, not everyone dies. What? Yeah.
Interesting stories about painting the bridge?
No, about people committing suicide. Because it happens pretty regularly. And he said, not everyone dies. And he said, almost everyone dies, but not everyone. And then you also have people who survive and then drown, because there's like treacherous currents. If the tide's going out, you're fucked. You're just going to go on out to sea. Or if it's coming in, you know, I don't know. But
it's complicated to kill yourself. In these ways.
And also it's challenging because you have to really want to get kind of over. It's not a simple thing now. They've got this barriers and all this other stuff.
Apparently, so that's also true of the Grand Canyon. Like you can
hit
ledges and then you got to jump again. It's a double.
Well, there's a few places where you can just jump, and there's no railing. Yeah, no.
That's a big canyon. People fall. Hard to put.
They slip and fall in. You know, that happens sometimes. So, but I'm always like 25 feet back, you know.
All right. So to summarize, we've got Voyeur Giraffe, Ghost Eeyore, and the Mount Rushmore plummet to your death.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's a solid.
I feel good about those choices.
Yeah. I think that's a solid weird quiz.
That's a weird quiz.
Good job.
So, I actually enjoyed that. I thought it was going to be weird, but it was that worked. That worked better than I thought it was going to work.
Yeah, you know, you got to take people through it.
Why don't they do that on late night? I don't know.
Well, I wrote for Kilborn, and we did five questions at the end of that. And I wrote one that made Tim Robbins really laugh once. And he was on there, and the joke was, use the phrase compassionate conservative in a way that's neither derisive nor ironic. And he laughed and he's like, fuck you, I'm not saying that.
After Tim Robbins, he's still around, isn't he?
I guess it's weird when those careers just somehow at some point just completely nosedive, right? Like, he was the thing for a long time.
Yeah, no, big activist, married to Susan Sarandon for a long time. They got divorced. She went crazy. And like that. What about Kilborn? What's he doing?
Oh, God. He's sitting in some mansion somewhere like Bela Lugosi. He's the worst. Like, I follow his Instagram sometimes, and he is always trying to show how, you know, wonderful life is and how he won. I'm like, no, you didn't win. He's like in some kind of social club in California where he goes to the dinner every night. And I'm like, dude, you're just sad. Like, it's just sad.
We couldn't have made that much money. I mean, I guess ESPN, he made money. And then.
Yeah, he had a long career and he was making almost $1 million a year when, you know, he quit late night. And he's not stupid. He saved his money, invested his money. But, yeah, it's like, come on, dude. You're just an obscure footnote. The one late night host who quit.
He was interesting. But you, of course, told me that he was one of those guys that maybe not without writers was not really all that.
Oh, he was useless. I mean, he was really talented. I really enjoyed watching him work with script when he was trying.
Yeah.
You know, and just super, super talented on camera, but not, yeah, not a funny dude. He doesn't make up his own jokes. Like he had to ask the head writer, Mike Gibbons, all the time. Is that funny? Was that one funny? So I'm like, yeah, that's a bad radar you get going, bro.
So of the late night hosts, who do you think is someone who could write well? Colbert?
Yeah, Colbert's a writer, clearly a writer. I've hung out with him.
Saw something.
It's always funny.
Somebody criticizing all the late night. Was this? We were talking about. It was on Bill Maher. And he was saying how, you know, there's this new guy on Fox late night. Greg Gilbert
or something,
whatever it is, and that he's actually funny. Now I have not seen him, but that he was trying to say it used to be, you know, you couldn't really be a conservative comic because you're punching down, and it's, you know, it's just, and the great example is what's his name, who you work with,
Dennis Miller, the hateable one,
who was a funny guy.
He's great.
And, but he, once he went that, it's just not as
you can't funny. Do it. It just doesn't work. Sour.
But he was trying to, Bill Maher was trying to say that now because the left and all the woke shit, that there's some jokes over there that
there's always been jokes on the left. He's right.
Yeah.
He's correct. But it's you can't do it from, it's still not punching down. The people who are doing woke cancel are power. It's a power. Yeah. So you punch it.
Yeah, I agree. And he did a big monologue at the end of the thing. One of those things he does where it's not serious, but it's sort of serious. And he went and Kim and I were watching it, and it was like, and I don't watch him all the time because it's like some of his shit is just not funny. Yeah. And sometimes he just gets on these soapboxes that are like, oh God, just shut up. But sometimes his guests are interesting.
Sure.
But anyway, he was talking about how this thing of people just losing their shit over this Afghanistan deal and the whole deal. And he said, look, if you're like me and you've ever had a discussion with a recent immigrant, you know, and you start talking about what they're doing and what do they think about us and what do they think
over how much money they'll take to let you shit on their chest. Just filling in his actual
He didn't mention that. But he said that every one of them, and I've had this experience, you probably have too, they all think we're fucking nuts. He said, you know, because they come from these horrible, horrible places. And it's like, this is better. This is a lot better, you know? And, you know, you don't have honor killings. You don't have genital mutilation. You don't have the Taliban knocking on your door, you know? And you know, he was just saying, let's get some fucking perspective about this thing. Yeah, we got problems, but they're not like those problems.
Right.
No, I mean, and he's right. He's absolutely right.
Yeah, and, one of his writers was right.
Yes, whoever wrote that for him was right.
So, all right, man. Know. Well, I think we've done it. I think we fixed America.
Yeah.
You feel fixed, America? Like neutered, fixed?
I don't think so.
I think they are. Let the comedians have a chance. Put us in some power. Thanks, man, for jumping on, pulling yourself out of your grave, off your hospital gurney.
Yeah. So I was, No, this was fine. This was good. I enjoyed this. I get anxious about things. You know that.
Yeah, but you're great at this. I mean, you have ideas and comedy. And so it's,
I am funnier. Awesome. I was going to do some research, and then I said, no. I'm much better off the cuff than I am. Because I think about all this shit all the time. We talked about this last time about how I probably should be, because I spend so much time on reading the news and reading New York Times and watching, you know, whatever. And I'm interested in it. And I have thoughts.
Some political cartooning, man. Come on, get in there. Get in the fray.
Yeah, two or three of them are funny.
Piss some people off. It's so much fun to then have to worry about them finding you.
Yeah, no, I think this week in Hedge, I think I'm going after Abbott, our lustiest governor. You know, freedom.
Freedom. Well, a guy in a wheelchair is probably going to be wanting some freedom. It's probably clean, a desire that he understands. It's weird.
Well, that's an interesting comedian, talking some comedy theory. Can you make a joke about Abbott in a wheelchair as part of like a cartoon where his wheelchair is central to the thing? I think you can.
You can. You can make a joke about any of that stuff. You just got to do it artfully.
Right. Right. Somebody got upset about one of his, a friend of mine did an editorial cartoon and somebody got upset about it because it's making fun of his disability. I said, fuck that guy.
Right.
Okay. He's in a wheelchair. He's an idiot.
Yeah. It's not about his disability. Like, no. I think you can earn, you can earn whatever you want to say about somebody if you have an intellectual insight to their flaws.
Yeah.
Being in a wheelchair is not a flaw, but his political beliefs. Like I had a joke once at one point about Sarah Palin, that she still hunts moose, but now she doesn't use a gun. She just yells her political opinions at the moose from the helicopter until they commit suicide. Wouldn't matter if she was in a wheelchair. She was just heinous.
Did you know how Abbott ended up in a wheelchair?
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, a tree fell on him while he was jogging.
Really?
Isn't that some weird cosmic karma thing? He was about 24 years old in Houston and running in River Oaks. Now, why is he in River Oaks? I don't know. But anyway, tree fell on him and he sued. He was a young lawyer and he sued the people and got like $12 million. And then became governor and signed tort reform, limiting just those sorts of judgments.
The ability to live with complete hypocrisy is the superpower of the right. Let's all step back and admit, like, it would kill me to do stuff like that. I could not live with it, but they feed on hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Makes them bigger and stronger and they love it. Well, the hypocrisy trough is full.
Yeah, I don't get it either. But yeah, somebody, there's a joke there about the tree falling on him, but I hadn't figured that one out yet.
Yeah. All right, well, you keep working on it. Okay. All right, man, appreciate it. This has been the Comedian Americans podcast. You keep coming back, and we'll keep fixing all the problems later.
Okay, take care.